So, the church has fathers. The church has fathers. The church that Paul founded and left behind in Corinth was fracturing, and Paul wrote to them, calling them his children, reminding them that even if they have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you have only a few fathers. Indeed, he says, in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. And there's a challenge there in what Paul says to anyone who would come along and undermine his fatherly authority. And the writer of Luke Acts seems to have been really comfortable with father as a customary address of respect. Stephen begins his defense saying, brothers and fathers, listen to me. Brothers and fathers, Paul addresses his own hostile crowd. The church has fathers. Paul and Luke hadn't read Matthew. But the difficult fit between the gospel text that we hear this morning and these other texts, between the instruction to call no one father and the clear recognition that people absolutely did and do call people father, that tough fit matters. Because I think it tells us something about how we might understand the teaching in Matthew that we heard this morning. You've heard it said to love your neighbor, but I say love your enemies. That's what Jesus says to the crowd on the mountain. If anyone strikes you, turn the other cheek. You've heard it said, do not swear falsely. I say to you, don't swear at all. You've heard it said, the law says, do not commit adultery. But I say, don't lust in your heart. Jesus is readying people for the kingdom of God. And that's urgent work. That is breathlessly urgent work. Because the kingdom is at hand. And Jesus is getting people ready the way a rabbi does. The way a teacher gets people ready. When there's something you have to know. He's rigorously, he's even dramatically interpreting the commandments, the law of Israel, to show what their radical implications are for our daily life. They're really hard to swallow implications for our daily life. But it's also to put a fence around the commandments. That's what the rabbis would come to call it, putting a fence around the law. You put a fence around something dangerous, the line you can't cross. If you can't step over this, put the fence out here to show people what peril looks like and feels like. A fence to keep people away from the transgression that's really deadly. That's how Jesus teaches. And here's another fence. Call no one on earth Father, for you have one Father, the one in heaven. I do that. We all do that. All the time. There's a line. There's a fence. And we pretty much all live on one side of it. So we'd better understand what's at stake. What's the root concern? What's the kind of life that we're being warned against? What's the kind of life we're being called to? Let's just kind of move down through this passage. Matthew describes the scribes and the Pharisees as taking Moses' seat. That's a literal place. It's a chair. A literal seat in the synagogue that symbolized the authority to teach. That's where the teachers sat. And Jesus instructs the people listening to him to do whatever those teachers say. And the message here is not to respect their authority. The message is that their teaching is sound. The problem is that they don't do what they themselves say to do. They hold out a challenging way of life for others that they themselves shrink away from. And the indictment goes on. They do their deeds to be seen by others. They love the privilege that comes with their position, reclining in the place of honor at the fancy dinner, sitting in the best seat in the synagogue. They love the way people greet them with respect in public. They love the way people call them teacher. Fundamentally, they desire honor. They want to be people who matter. They want to be people who matter like anyone in their culture, like anyone anywhere. And they claim honor and status in all the ways that their culture invites them to. Right? It's kind of interesting in this passage that they're never actually demanding anything. They're just taking what's given to them. Here's a seat. Here's a title. Thank you very much. But the Pharisees and their issues aren't really the point of the speech. We already know we're having a hard time with the Pharisees. The point of the speech is to somehow get us to understand a pattern of life for the community that's gathering around Jesus. You are not to be called rabbi, Jesus says, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one father on earth